Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Scanning the Frequencies. We have Fabian and Lisa. Hey, Fabian, how you doing?
What's up?
What's up? What's going on? What is going on? How you been?
Oh, I've been fine. Loving the cooler weather. Loving it.
The fall, I know.
The autumn. It's my favorite time of the year. It's coming up on that time for all of us. Gals and ghouls.
Yes.
Is it guys and ghouls or ghouls and gals?
Ghouls and gals and ghouls and
and vampires and I guess what I bought.
What?
I bought the retractable vampire teeth.
Retractable? Did
you? Yeah, I found them on Amazon.
I'm gonna
freak everybody out with them as soon as they come in next week.
They're retractable, so that you could just come out when you want them to.
Yeah, you use your tongue. You touch them with your tongue, and
flip
them, and they come down. You know, so
you have to wear them on Halloween. We have to give a shout out to Jason because Jason can't be with us because he's taking care of his kids, and then the kids
have
soccer. All right, so we want to give him a good shout out and tell him, you know, when he's done with the whole soccer season, we'll see him again. All right, and you know, I want to make sure we do that and say hello to Ricky and whatnot. But speaking of autumn and fall, this is the season where everybody gets spooky, and if I see one more Christmas decoration,
All right. Christmas is they're already trying to shove it up our butt, ain't they?
Yeah, they are. Okay,
yeah.
I know. I've heard. Yes. Well, we got to get through this Halloween and the change of seasons. We got the fall equinox. We got so much going on right now. I mean, like Halloween this year should be. We went through the pandemic, so this year's Halloween should be fantastic.
Oh yeah. Well, last year on the Parasanctum podcast, shout out to the Parasanctum podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can hear my 22. Episodes of the Parasanctum podcast and the delightful Lisa is on two of those, about to be three of them. And just thank you all for the support there. It's through Anchor, which is owned by Spotify. And
I
did some podcasts about Halloween a year ago, starting July of last year. Back in 2005, I actually had done the history of Halloween with a friend named Ricky Branch. And when I had the Ghost Cams experiment portal back in the late 90s, early 2000s. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Peter James, who used to come visit my Ghost Cam portal. His birthday just passed recently, and we still miss Peter James very much.
He was great.
He was a very, very cool dude. He was a fine gentleman, very well-spoken, extremely intelligent. I was honored to have got to know him on that capacity where he'd come and visit the Ghost Cam's experiment portal back in 2005, 2006. And he told me that it was a great idea and it was going places. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to Peter James and John Temporelli, Sophia Temporelli, and Shirley Temporelli, some really great friends of mine. They've got the Ghost Host show.
Okay.
But anyway, back to the podcast, Lisa. Lisa.
Cousin Fabian, we have two cousins on the same track here.
We are family.
Exactly.
The Parasanctum podcast, Oh, yeah, and the show is the Ghost Host Show on Live Paranormal. Y'all don't miss that. That's a great show. I was honored to be on it in 2013, like I said before.
Yep, yep.
But the on the podcast a year ago, I was talking about the history of Halloween. I went back to a 2005. I wrote an article on it, and it was an extensive article about the history of Halloween with
fill
Ricky Branch.
Wait.
And
fill us in a little bit about the history, what you learned.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, as we know, the equinox, the autumnal equinox just passed. That means the days are fixing to get, and already are, getting shorter. They're going to get much shorter. Dark is going to be on us again. Of course, as you know, the autumnal equinox, the ancient Celts and the Druids and what they have of the Druids, because most of the history was lost of the Druids because the Romans came in and sacked the Druids and destroyed their history, which is an absolute travesty. There's so many beautiful things that we could have learned. But, you know, history is written by the victors. So they destroyed the history of the Druids. They didn't like the way they were sacrificing. They claimed they were sacrificing humans. But then, you know, a lot of people wondered. If it's written by the victors, then that means it's biased. A lot of people believe that the Druids were written about badly. Caesar and all of them had written really bad things about them. And it was early form of character assassination propaganda.
Yep. Oh, we know that. We know. Look at Salem witch trials. Do you really think they were witches? They weren't witches. Okay.
No. They were just getting. They were getting land. You know, that was all about a big land grab. Yeah.
They had.
We talked about that last time.
Exactly. So with the Druids, the same thing.
The Druids. Yeah. Well, to start at the beginning that I'm aware of, it actually goes back to Neolithic peoples. They believed that Stonehenge itself. Which a lot of people, and I may upset a lot of people, but I'm just going by the scientific aspect of it, that they had studied to try to learn who built the stones at Stonehenge, the ring of Hrodgar in the British Isles, all the rings of stones. And they're saying it's about 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. And they really, to this day, all they know is that it's the Neolithic peoples of Britain. I wonder if it was the... what was the Beaker people? You know, you ever heard of the Beaker people?
No, I don't think so. But we don't know who put them there.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They're
ancient. They're so ancient.
Right. And I mean, did you know? Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, if you think about it, there's Jupiter. Sorry, I didn't mean to go ADHD.
Oh no. I've been seeing it.
All right, there it is. It is bigger than I. Okay, I just had to get that out there. But when you think about it, with Stonehenge and whatnot, and with the even doing ancestry, going back through all the paperwork, going all the way back 2,000 years, because you know the Bam Runside, you can, and Campbell and Sword, you can just sail right backwards. You see how that migration was, you know, like of peoples. So So if we don't think that people could have migrated before we had records, you know what I mean? They could be from anywhere or, you know what I mean? And have created, but whoever created that created it with a purpose, a design,
they did.
A purpose.
And that's what I was going to say. The Stonehenge actually aligns with the sun. And it aligns, you know, like I believe it's the winter solstice and the summer solstice. It aligns on either end of it, and I think it shines through. Well, I'm not going to say the wrong thing, but it shines through some certain type of stones. There, sorry.
Yes, it runs.
I got a bug in my mouth just now. Yuck!
God,
and I'm not into all that. I'm not into all that. Bug-based hamburgers and shit like that.
Oh, no, thank you. Me neither. Okay.
Did you hear the crunch? No.
Yeah, right. No.
No.
You have the window open and the bug just said, woo.
Well, yeah, I was tossing I was eating pizza earlier and there was this little piece of a meatball I threw out the window and a bug flew in. maybe he wanted to grab the meatball out of my hand.
Exactly.
Halloween about Stonehenge and about all those awesome Neolithic sites that they have over in the British Isles,
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that the Druids, they didn't, you know, they're trying to say that maybe the Druids have like a gathering there, and
yes.
It's more of a Welsh type, it's a group that comes in and they come in and they chant and they sing, which is
yes.
beautiful,
yeah,
and they honor
beautiful.
The ancestors. Hey, look, if people want to think like that, that's great. Go in
That's
there
fine.
And chant and love the earth and love
right.
the stones and get into the vibe, grab the higher vibration, man. That's good. That's
yep,
cool.
We need to start loving the earth because the earth is starting, she is getting pissed off. Okay, so we need
yeah.
to give her some love.
Hey, yep. Mother Nature, hey, here's the deal. If this is straight up. Well, I'm not even going to go into it, but all you got to do is listen to George Carlin tell you what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Have
you, know
you ever
it.
Heard
you
him
read
Save the Planet? He goes crazy. But
exactly.
George Carlin is, man, shout out to George Carlin.
Yep,
he's forever a prophet.
I know that. Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
But
we were talking about
the autumn, the leaves, the beautiful changing of the seasons, changing of the guard. In ancient times, they believed that the sun was vanquished by the moon. I'm not sure if you
right.
ever heard that. Even the Egyptians believed
yeah.
that the dark destroyed the night until the night was reborn. I believe I'm saying that correctly.
Like it's kind of beautiful. It's beautiful because you're reborn every day. You know,
yeah.
like if you think about it.
Yeah,
it,
so
you know.
Osiris, I think it was Osiris and someone else, maybe someone can educate me or remind
well,
me of what it was.
They with the change of seasons, everything falls, all the leaves fall off the trees, everything
yep.
goes into a slumber or, you know what I mean? Loses,
yep.
you know, loses everything only to regrow again in spring.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a really important change in the seasons, and if we look at it in our life also, think about it. Sometimes you got to let the things fall and go away just to regrow.
Yeah,
so
that's you got to go through a nightmare sometimes to create a miracle.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather not go through
nightmares. Well, that's a little harsh. But
really?
if Mother Nature got pissed off enough, we're all done.
I know, and that's
You're
why
finished.
We must be nice. And Halloween, and the whole thing with Stonehenge and Halloween and the whole energy
yeah.
and everything, you know, what did they do? They respected and worshiped nature. So
that's right. Oh, nature. Oh, you just brought up a good topic. Did you know the reason the vampire bat, you know why the vampire bat became a symbol of the fall? And Do you want to know? Do you want to know?
I
got a
little
rough draft.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
know.
Because all the fires that would be burnt, that were being burned in the old in old Ireland, you know, and
right.
like on the Hill of Tara and places like that, and
right.
obviously in the stone circles and everything. Well, the light from the fires would draw bugs.
Oh yeah.
So you
okay.
get all these bugs around the top of the fire, and the people gathered around the fire would see the bats flying and
yep.
swooping down, not
mm-hmm.
really understanding that they were just getting some snacks.
Right,
but
right.
seeing the bats gained their place in, you know,
cool.
in this time of Halloween, which is basically Samhain. The
yep.
festival, Samhain, is the old festival of Samhain. Samhain
yeah.
is the correct pronunciation.
It is.
I've
yeah.
heard it pronounced Samhain and other things, but Samhain is what I've heard most scholars
yes.
refer
yes.
to it as. And Samhain is the ancient festival.
Yes.
To celebrate
the
end of the year,
mm-hmm.
the end
yep.
of the year, because the end of the year was when the harvest was
right.
brought in, and
yes.
that's when, you know, the colder times came in and people used to keep, you know, the hearth fire lit. A lot of people don't realize why candles are lit up all over Pennsylvania in the windows.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
refers to
exactly.
the hearth light. It's a
yep.
representation of welcome home.
Yes, it is.
Which
uh-huh.
comes from a more older representation of
mm-hmm.
the hearth fire from ancient Celtic practice. Oh, another one I'd like to run by.
We had them in our house too. My mom, even in Jersey, the candles in the windows. Yep. Especially
yeah, we got
during
them
the
in
season.
Our...
Yep. Yep. Especially. Yeah. And by the way, I just saw a bat.
Yes. They must have been listening.
I know.
Hey, listen to Scanning the Frequencies. Squeak, squeak.
Yep. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
No. It wouldn't be squeak. It would be wow, 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 wow.
Right. Oh, my God. But, I mean, Halloween now, everybody is, like, getting in the celebration mood. You know what I mean? Everybody's you've got all of the scared places, you know, the haunts, where you go in. If you put my daughter Jade in one, she's got a fear of clowns.
Oh, goodness. So does my daughter Courtney.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
So
yes,
you know.
Yeah. My wife is mean. She'll send pictures of it. To her phone just to mess with her, you know.
I do the same thing to Jade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But everybody's, like, getting, like, and especially this year now, like, I noticed all of it's open. Like, Pennhurst is open again. Fort Mifflin's have a candlelight.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, the whole nine yards. And if anybody has not been to a Fort Mifflin candlelight tour, please go. Because
it's
awesome, okay? And then they're having, you know, stuff like, you know, Bates Motel, you know, all the cool stuff. People get into the mood and they get into this whole spirit of Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's all because of ancient times.
Hey, and we bring it back, what, dwelling on the ancient.
Yes.
Do you know the story of Stingy Jack?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I might, but I don't know.
We'll see in old Ireland, and they carved turnips instead of pumpkins.
Oh, that's what
I don't think they were aware of pumpkins. I'm not sure they had them. I know Shakespeare called them pompillon in The Merry Wives of Windsor, and that was like the medieval ages. So
yes.
I'm not sure if the ancient Irish were aware of pumpkins, or they may have had squash and things like that, but I don't think the British Isles knew what pumpkins were back, you know, that long ago in Irish mythology and Irish history. But Jack was a stingy old man, and one day he got the devil up an apple tree and carved a cross and wouldn't let the devil down. He was so mean.
Oh.
So you know what he does? The devil says, I got to get down from here. I got to run hell. So Jack's got this cross on the trunk of the tree, and the devil's like, you remove that so I can get down. He said, well, you make a deal with me. When I die, you're not going to, you know, I'm not going to go to hell. So the devil says, okay, when you die, you're not going to hell if you do this. I'll keep my bargain with you. So Jack finally dies, right? And Jack is like, he would like very much, sorry about the noise, I'm driving to work.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay.
He would like very much, at the end of his life, he wants to go to heaven, so he goes and sees St. Peter.
Right.
And St. Peter will not let him in because he's that mean, you know. And then he comes to the devil, and the devil says, well, I'm not letting you in because of the bargain we made. And he tells him, he says, well, I'm not letting you in. So Jack is forced, so Jack is forced into purgatory. He has to roam eternity.
Right.
He has to roam all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil has pity on him. He says, I tell you what, I'll give you an ember from hell and you put it in this lantern and you can walk through all eternity. But you'll have a lantern to light your way, and that's it's a rough draft. There's people listening that are like, boy, he really butchered that, didn't he?
Jack-o'-lantern.
Jack-o'-lantern, that's just a Tennessee way of saying, I guess, telling you.
It's a jack-o'-lantern.
That's what the jack-o'-lantern. And how about bobbing for apples? Have you heard of that? Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do that when we were
every
kids.
Every Pennsylvanian would know what that is.
We knew what it was like, too, in Jersey when we were kids, so.
Yes, I do, actually. Do you know what that means? Do you know where it came from?
I have no clue. What were they trying to drown somebody normally?
No, in ancient times, well, actually, they believe it came from the custom of Pomona, or I think it was Pomona or Feralia, one of the two
okay.
customs. It came from the ancient Romans.
Okay.
Pomona. It was Pomona.
Okay.
And they believed that if you peeled an apple, you peeled the skin, it would turn in such a way that it would reveal the letter, first letter of the person that you were next to marry or that you were going to marry.
Oh, if you peeled an apple?
If you peeled the apple peel and you put it in water, I believe, it was supposed to tell you if you were going to marry a certain person by, let's say it had the letter C.
Like it took a shape,
that,
right.
I'm going to marry Charles.
Wait. I want everybody in the audience that's listening to try that.
Yeah. Oh, and if you cut it. Yeah, and the apples were sacred anyway. They were considered very sacred in the British Isles. But another thing they said, when you would bob and you grab the apple, you have to dip your head in the barrel and pull the apple out. Yeah, the first one to do that was also considered the first one to marry as well.
Oh wow, that's true.
The first one who could get an apple, in other words.
All these superstitious, like, beliefs, you know what I mean? Like, the whole...
Yeah.
But it's really kind of cute and like, symbolic, you know what I mean? It's not like it's bad, you know, there weren't bad things or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with superstitions. Like, my dad, he'd be like, somebody's talking shit about me. We got to go see Aunt Mary. She got to take the eye off me. Okay?
Evil eye.
That's... We gotta go see Aunt Mary. She gotta do the thing. Come on, we gotta go.
Gotta do that mojo.
Yep. So it was like, you know, it was just an oil and water and thing and whatever. But the thing was that it, you know, everything, I guess if you believe it enough, it works.
What was your favorite memory of Halloween, Lisa?
Oh my God. One time.
You know I'm good at this shit. I'll pop it on you.
Okay, one time me and my best friend Annie, God rest her soul. Okay, when
we
were like, I guess about 15 or so, my mom had, you know, because my parents were divorced, but my mom had left, you know, her wig heads, you know, the styrofoam heads, but this had no face. It had no face. It was just a round head, a styrofoam head.
I used to play with them.
Oh yeah, me and Annie decided, well, we're going to melt some wax and create a face. Okay, we took our time. We molded the nose. We got it. I made a legitimate head. Then we took makeup and we painted eyes. We did the whole, like, not, it had perfect nose, lips, everything, makeup on, and we put my mother's wig on. Then we took my best friend Annie's clothes, okay, and stuck them and got, like, connected it to the head.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And then we put gloves on, stuffed the fingers. We did the whole nine yards, put shoes on, sat in the chair, right, with its legs crossed. And a hat on.
Oh, wow. That's great, man. That's the way to do it, too.
Wait, but we did it on purpose. My dad was coming home in the middle of the night after working all night at the trucking company.
Oh,
right?
Shit. Oh, no.
He comes in. We're hiding in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Behind his door.
Yeah.
He comes in. All you hear is, hi, Annie. Jesus fucking God. Oh, my God. You scared the what the fuck? He's like, where are you two? And we're giggling and running down the basement. That is about my favorite Halloween.
That is awesome, man.
But he was laughing and chasing. Go, where the... He was cracking up because, I mean, he was like, hi, Annie. And then he looked at the face and was like, ah!
Oh, that's incredible.
And we were giggling so hard. And like little kids that just, well, even though we were teenagers, and giggling and running and trying to hide in the basement.
Oh, I bet you're going to get your ass busted.
No, he laughed. He couldn't. He laughed. He laughed so hard, though, because we just.
Oh, yeah. Because
we
get turned the light on, and that ain't Annie.
That's basically what happened.
No, I can hear him in that accent. That ain't Annie. That ain't Annie.
No. James goes, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's one way to do it, man.
Well, that was a good Halloween. What was one of your favorite? That was just the funniest.
Oh,
it was for the Halloween season.
Yeah, I was trying to formulate mine, but you actually reminded me of something very similar, and I had to change my guns in the middle of battle with what I was going to tell you.
Okay, well,
actually, now I got to go back to my first wife's her stepdad.
Okay.
What do you call it? Is her father-in-law? No, it's her stepdad. Durr. I'm supposed to be a genealogist. Anyway, yeah. Well, anyway, that's how much I remember my first wife's family. They were awesome. She was not. That's how it goes. But
he,
in the family. Yeah, he was great. But anyway, you ever been to Spencer's back in the 80s?
Teenagers? I practically lived there.
I lived there, yes. I lived there.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I was going by a dumpster behind the mall, and I saw one of them clown things that, you remember they would spit on you and laugh?
Yes.
Okay,
I
found one that had been thrown away, and it was laying over by the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
So me being the original engineer I was when I was a kid, taking radios apart and fixing them and things like that, I saw that thing, and there wasn't a way to fix the upper part of it.
Right.
But the little was still in there. And the little sprayer and the little tube where you put the water in and everything.
Oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So my ex-father-in-law, that's why I got confused. Ex-father-in-law, me and him used to get in a lot of arguments. He didn't like me.
Oh, boy.
And we got in a fist fight a couple of times, and he just like me because I wouldn't put up with his mouth over his daughter, you know. That's another storyline. I know we can't do this online.
Yep.
No, I'll never tell you. There's things all of us can't tell.
Oh,
but
I know how that is.
Anyway, let's just say I fired her and married Danielle in 1993.
Oh, she's wonderful. And she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep.
I think so, too. I believe so very much. But anyway, back to the story, so I don't burn the clock out. They come to live with us. They were needing somewhere to stay.
Right.
And they got kicked out of Section 8 for, I guess, I don't know. But they needed somewhere to stay, and I'd bought nothing yet. I was broke as a joke in them days. Couldn't even keep a car running. I got a small house, mm-hmm. and we were living, that was me and Melissa's first house.
Right.
And at some time in the past, I'd gotten one of those, the toilet seat was broke, okay?
Okay, gotcha.
So you're probably going to figure out where I'm going with this next. It's kind of a spoiler. I bought one, at the time, it was like brand new, remember the foam toilet seat when they first came out in the 80s?
Oh, God,
real high hat. I'd had one of those, and I'm gotten to thinking, I'm gonna get this son of a bitch back.
Right.
So what I did, I thought of that on the way home. I grabbed that thing out of the dumpster, and I took the toilet seat off.
Oh no!
And I cut a slit in the toilet seat on the back side of it.
Right.
And I worked all of those components into the toilet seat.
Oh,
so what ended up happening, and I also put the little stream thing, I put the little sprayer right underneath the bottom where you couldn't see it, so that when it sprayed, so when he come over and the first night he took a shit in my bathroom, it shot water up and went, and this was on Halloween Eve. It was on Halloween. It was on the 30th of October, 1987. I'll never forget it.
Oh, my God.
30th of October, 1987. And
oh, my God.
He come flying out of there. And he come, you son of a bitch. I know you did this. I know you did it, you little blankety blank.
Yep. But you said, it's Halloween.
And I said, you still needing a place to stay?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, that was pretty damn funny.
Well, he changed that tune. He changed that tune. Oh, my
but
God.
But that, when you said that about, when you were telling me about your dad, oh,
yes.
God, I used to put on Halloween mask and scare Danielle and the kids. That was my favorite.
Oh, my God. I did the same shit. You've seen my storage unit, right? With all the masks when I put that picture up.
So good job finding your Social Security card.
Yeah, and then I got another one.
Right on. I found two birth certificates.
Yeah, but I didn't find my birth certificate. My actual birth certificate is missing. Yeah.
Uh-oh, the government's listening.
Oh yeah. Well, I want it back.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, it was in my, I know where it was. It's gone. So, you know, that sucks. Yep. I got a copy of the copy.
That
ain't going to do no good. You know?
My first wife burned all of my stuff when I got rid of her. She destroyed everything I had.
Isn't that illegal?
I can't go into details. Let's just say that she got in a lot of trouble with the law after that, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
I won't go into details.
I can imagine.
I'm not going to... But anyway, on a lighter note, it's getting cooler.
Oh, my God. I love it. I wanted to tell you. Well, remember how I went to Selma for an event? You know, for the to honor Bill Freeman, who had passed away. Okay.
Oh.
And
rest in peace.
Yes, it was a very, very, very great event, and I wound up doing a Frank's Box session up on the third floor in the Severside.
Yeah.
And I wound up, and I didn't really know at first who was there, like, because I was talking to these adorable kids. They were so cute. All right. And it wound up being his family and the grandkids. And we all did a Frank's Box session, and he came through to talk to his family. He came through to talk to his family. That's what this is all about.
That's beautiful, man. That is, you know, that's what it is all about.
It's all
that reminds
about
me of. That reminds me a lot of when Gary Galka was on that Ghost Adventures episode and his daughter was talking to him on, you know, that, and then that's what Zach said. He said that just brought everything home right there. That's what it was
does.
All about. Yeah.
And that's what Frank Sumption, who do you think that told him to create the box? His son. His son, Frank Jr., God rest his soul.
Yeah.
All
right.
And so when you think about it, that's what that's designed to do. Is to do what it does.
Together. You know that you just made a really wicked awesome point there. Everybody's gotten into this whole glamour shots. Who can be the most famous? Who can outdo the next person? And two of my really close friends right now. One of them is really, really. I will not say names. I don't do name drops.
Yes.
But it's breaking my heart. Because there's two people in the paranormal that I love very much. One of them I've known a very long time, and one of them's been doing it for a while. But I wish everybody just dropped the freaking ego.
Knock it off.
Do the research and remember things like Lisa just said. It's about things like that, bringing closure if you can.
Look,
what a beautiful feeling, and I can't tell you where, but I've had a few closures, and I cry. I actually get chills all over, and I cry when that happens. I mean, I'm like floored by the beautifulness of it.
I've had that happen. See, every time a lot of times people take in the box, for instance, okay? When you're taking that to, let's say, a public event or a ghost hunt, you got the box running. There's like 30 people. I'm just extending it. But let's say there's 20 people in the room, all right? And you're like trying to talk to a ghost or a spirit that's in the location, right? Nine out of ten times, unless you're at Selma, because you can hear them. They talk along with everybody else, okay? At the fort, they talk right along with everybody else. You usually will be like, well, who's this? You'll be like, Sam, what do you mean the bucket fell? I'm just throwing things out there. And somebody will say, what?
Exactly.
And you're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, what? And they go, what did that say? And then I'll be like, what's going on? And Dawn will go, what's going on? That's it. What's going on? Because then it will connect with usually an individual that's there. And it makes sense to the person that's sitting there. So a lot of times when a lot of people do the box sessions and they got, you know, even five people in a room and they're talking to a spirit in the location, sometimes they're not talking to a spirit in the location. They're talking to a spirit connected to one of them five people in the room.
Yeah, and that's another thing about this, the research. I've done ghost box sessions or spirit box sessions in places where that have nothing to do with what the spirit is talking about, hence free will choice. I believe they just come and go. Since they're coming and going, I believe they're just they don't understand. They're not – well, yeah, but they don't – to them, it's just them – in their realm, their dimension. I like what you said. I want to touch base with
that. Wait a minute. But Ruth from Selma, Auntie Ruth Fornan is from Selma, she'll break right in and go, Lisa, it's Ruth.
Good example.
Okay,
absolutely.
So she's very conscious. She's very conscious of what's going on and love the location.
Yeah.
So we got – there's so many factors to point in here. You've got people that come in and don't know what's going on. I've heard that with Walter. When everybody knows Walter, shout out to Walter. All right. But I've heard somebody ask for help from him. You understand? And
you hear help a lot, don't you?
Yeah,
you hear it a lot.
Yeah. And Debbie, the singing lady, I don't know, we call her Debbie. I don't know. She sings, Walter. She'll come in and she never speaks the name. She sings, Walter, all the time. Like she's a phone operator. All right. And she'll say, go with Walter. Go with Walter. And then like to a spirit or something that needs help. And then all of a sudden, Walter, you don't hear for a while. And then all of a sudden, he'll come back and say everything's okay. So
brought up what I was going to say, that you've talked to entities energies, however you want to qualify them for whatever.
I know.
You want
quality. Yeah, Walter.
The quality.
Yeah.
You know, you were telling me a story one time about you had actually had connected with a relative of one of the was it Fort Mifflin or Selma?
William Howe.
That was there was a relative that came through to send a message.
Oh, wait.
To William, not knowing that William died.
It was me. No, I didn't know. I didn't know. It was me.
It was you. Okay,
I'm the ding dong.
Right.
He kept saying, oh, Walter said the same thing. He's like, your family, you know, like, and William was
their
family.
Right.
And
that's
I'd be like,
what
were they talking about? And like, what's going on? I have no idea. And I had no clue. I had no idea. And then when I first moved to Norristown, I didn't know because I wasn't at the fort yet. I lived next door to where his wife moved after he was executed. I lived right next door. And then when I started the paranormal, I was getting all these weird things on the box, like the regular box when I had it back in the day, like the shack hack. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
And then I moved onto Chestnut Street, and I didn't know like where Hannah and the kids had moved after, you know, before, I put it this way, they moved to Cherry Street after Chestnut, so they moved to Chestnut Street first. I lived in the house that she raised the children with my children.
Wow.
Okay, and when I saw the census, I'm like, no way. Oh, my God. And so I had to go over to 1800 map, you know, 1870 map to see because they had put the row houses in. I'm like, oh, my God. So basically I was living in the house where she raised the boys. Okay? And
that's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That is all crazy. Right. So that was the connection that you found out that they came through in another place to let you know that. This is where we lived, and that there was a relative connection. Yeah, that's
but
great.
I didn't know. I didn't even know Walter was Walter for 2 years. It took 2 years of the spirit box. The first word, and I don't know if Lorraine's going to listen, but Lorraine was there when we all got in the casemate. We had the ghost box. We got in the casemate 11. We're looking to talk to William. It was the first time to run the box in there. We put the box on, and the first thing it said was, it's Walter. And everybody's like, who the hell is Walter?
He's a lexicon of everything.
Yeah, but he had to, it took 2 years of me listening to him for him to say, you used to call me Elijah, for me to know he was my spirit guide.
Right.
It did take 2 years. So sometimes, and another thing, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of times they give information out and it happens 3 years later.
Isn't that the truth? Have you ever, I got a really kind of off the wall question, but it's kind of in line with what we're talking about. And yes, that was the relative question. It wasn't they were trying to send a message to a relative, except that you were the one they were sending
the
message to, that you were the relative. So now we got that cleared up, and thank you. Have you ever had a lot of people claim, you know what a portent is?
No, but explain it. I'm not
okay,
told the word.
Okay, a portent is like a warning or a something, an impending blah, blah, blah. You know, have you ever had a spirit come through and give you a warning about something that was going to happen and then it happened?
Okay. Yes, but one thing that I did get back in December of 2019, I was running the box session, and then Walter came on and said, Lisa, and I said, hey. He said, hey, or what? And I said, well, what's going on? Do you have any messages? Yeah, what do you want to tell me? He said, a catastrophe is coming. And I said, what? And I said, what do you mean a catastrophe? He said, it's going to be very bad. And I said, well, when? And that was the only time that he said in 3 months. Stay home is what he said next.
Oh, wow.
And the pandemic
hit. And you stayed home. Yeah, and then the pandemic hit.
And as soon as I saw the you know, when the World Health Organization was announcing about the pandemic, I was making a mask because I knew. I said, it's 3 months. This is, and then when I ran the box, then Walter said, this is it. This is the catastrophe.
Wow. That's insane.
So I was prepared. That's the only time he'd used a time limit. You understand what I mean? Like a time limit?
Yeah.
Like, it was December and January, February, March. By March, everything was chaos. So,
I know. We unfortunately, every one of us know that.
I know. But I knew, and that's why when
some
as soon as I saw that, as soon as I saw it, plus I worked with animals all the years, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's
you know
great
what I mean?
That you do that. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Shout out to PD. My new dog.
Oh,
we got a new puppy.
I can't wait for that DNA test to come back. Oh my god.
Yep. We're gonna find out what she is. I think she's a BoJack.
She's a Boston Terrier mix. Boston Terrier is
a Jack Russell. Boston Terrier mixed with a Jack Russell.
Or what's that other one? Oh my god. Oh my god. Why can't I? Spuds McKenzie.
the pit bull. I'm certain to turn away from that. I really am. Not even a pit, because the pit bull, there's a muscle mass and feet size. And I called a veterinarian, it wasn't our veterinarian, but I know someone that's a veterinarian. I called on them on Facebook.
Okay.
And I called on them to kind of give me an idea what they thought. And they said the feet were too small. It's more likely a Jack. It's definitely terrier, even though pit bull is a terrier. And we were rooting for pit bull, but you know what? She's just absolutely gorgeous. I don't care what.
Oh my god, she's. I can't. You know what? She could have pit bull in her as a grandparent, half of one, or it may come out in the DNA because it could be a mixture of a few different breeds. So you'll know by the DNA test. I had a pit bull. And his name was Scooch.
Oh, I did too. We had a pit bull that our son-in-law had with him, and he was gorgeous.
But my pit bull was 85 pounds, and the reason being was his grandfather was half St. Bernard.
Oh, yeah.
So he had the same markings.
What a wicked dog.
Look, he had the same markings as my Walter and Mifflin did. But, you know, he was back in the day. He was a long time ago I had him. But he had the same markings as Mifflin and Walter in the face. That's what he reminded me of.
Did they call that a pit burning?
No, but I bred my pit bull with a golden retriever. Look, I bred my pit bull with a golden retriever, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, well, even though his grandpa was the same. I bred him with a golden retriever, and we called them pitrievers.
Oh, cool.
But they all came out black. Neither one of the girls were black. They came out black with white chests.
Well, I know a guy who crossed a pit bull with a shih tzu, and it was bullshit.
I got that. Yeah, that would be.
That's an old one,
man. Oh, my God.
It's an old joke.
No.
But really, the animals, like we were talking about, Petey's always looking at things in the den, and we did have a spirit there back in several years ago, and my antennas, I guess, they're just not hitting it, but Petey kept staring at the corner of our den and just kept staring and staring and staring.
Well, they
and I wonder, but then they also, there's a window right there, too, and I'm thinking maybe there's a raccoon or something.
Oh, there could be,
but maybe
we don't. You don't know. My dogs used to stare up the stairs and wag their tail at nothing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now that's cool.
Uh huh. They get excited. And when I would run the box, if I said to the dogs, I'm going to run the box, they knew.
Did you know who it was?
Well, probably Walter or William, one or the other.
Oh, okay.
But one of those two. But if I would run the box, I'd say I'm going to get the Frank's box like that to the dogs, and they'd all come in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. they were used to hearing it, I guess, hearing the box run.
Petey did it last night, and I went outside, and there were four dogs outside. But did it in the other corner. It was a different corner of the den. But she was, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is definitely, she started barking, and I'm like, uh-oh. But then I went outside, and there were four dogs.
Okay.
I couldn't hear them. But
no,
she could hear them and smell them. Yeah.
See, they
Isn't
could,
that
they
wonderful?
Know.
They have a really, really good sense of hearing, dogs.
I used to love when I'd be in the house on Chestnut Street, and I had the gate so the dogs wouldn't barrel up and down the stairs because they had the whole bottom floor and the outside and the back. And so I'd keep a gate there, and I'd see William lift himself up at the gate, and he'd be looking to the left, and then they all go, and I'd be like, who are you looking
That's
at?
Great.
There ain't nobody home. And then
the
tail would start wagging. And I'm like, who are you looking at up there, dude? And they get excited like somebody was coming to greet them. Yeah, they know.
Has there ever been, well, actually, you told us of a time, the last time we were on the show together, that Selma got in the back, she was scared and that she got terrified. Has any of the dogs at your house where you live done that?
No, but I tell you what, Selma was the only one who was in trouble, okay? Mifflin?
Yeah.
Mifflin, uh-uh. Like, it took it, like, he wouldn't go through, you know Fort Mifflin, right? He would not go through the one entrance of Fort Mifflin, the one Sally Point entrance. He would not. I would have to walk him all the way around and go over the bridge. He would stop dead in his tracks. And I never quite understood why. Until I found out there was a German Shepherd there, that's where he used to guard, you know, like be hanging around. So Mifflin was like, nope, I ain't going in there. I'm going to go around. He used to make me go around the other way. But Selma was the one who got in trouble. She barreled.
You're talking about the long way?
Yep, he made me go the long way, all the way around.
Sally
Port's right there, and it's not like scary or anything. We just walk right through. He wanted to go the other way. But Selma, he wouldn't even go to the kitchen of Selma Mansion, Mifflin, for a year and a half.
Oh.
So until he was allowed to, it seemed, until he was able to go in there, he would stop at the kitchen door, put his head down like somebody yelled at him, and walk away.
You know, that was probably a mean and human spirit.
Or no, but it's a kitchen. Get out of here. No animals while we're cooking.
Exactly. It could have been like a woman that was very, you know, here's one thing. The further back in time you go, the less animals were allowed in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the kitchen was absolutely off limits. And
exactly.
If there was anything that got in the kitchen, Mama was screaming.
Right. Exactly.
Get it out of the kitchen. This is where we eat, or something like that.
Yep.
Maybe that spirit was reacting to
That's
the animal.
I think so. I think that. But one day, Mifflin was allowed to go in the kitchen. So I woke up, I'm like, where's Mifflin? And I went in, he's sleeping in the kitchen, right in the kitchen in front of the sink on the rug. I'm like, you did not. And he's all wagging his tail. I'm like, oh, you got to go to the kitchen. With a year and a half later. Okay. But Selma, she will barrel. She was the type of dog that would barrel through anything. She went running into Casemate 11, like that out of hell. She got to go see everything. That's how come she would run through Selma. Selma would run through Selma Mansion. I'm going to go up the stairs, down the stairs. She didn't care. She'd go right through the kitchen, go there, and that's why we'd find her somewhere else, like in the basement. Like, what the hell?
You were talking about Fort Mifflin and Selma.
Yeah.
Did you want to go ahead and shout out again about the Halloween events that are going on at the venues?
Oh, well, nothing's going on at Selma this year, but at Oh, don't tell me I got a tick on my stomach. Oh, Jesus. Is it? I hope not. Please say no. Okay? But anyway, Fort Mifflin's going to have the candlelight tours to go to www.fortmifflin.us/us. Just go to Fort Mifflin's website and get the list of the candlelight tours that's coming up.
Well, I was going to tell you, I had a ball talking with you tonight.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to doing this again.
Oh, so am I. Yes, we'll do it next week if you're available.
Yes, I'm going to be available anytime you need me as long as it's on my way to work. Got to ignore the traffic. With the noise canceling working okay?
It works perfect. It works absolutely
really?
Perfect. Yes, I can hear you absolutely perfect. Perfect.
That's
and I've
cool.
got my headphones on too. So
well, I'll tell you what. I will be there for you as much as I possibly can. I love you.
Yes, I love you too. All right, we'll end this here. To have a good night.
Yeah.
And because
and by the way,
off.
enjoy the cooler weather and the tidings of the leaves, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, and everybody out there who's listening, remember,
later on.
Celebrate Halloween early and make sure you scare as many people as you can.
Do some ghost box sessions.
Yeah, have some fun. Make some videos. Create some masks. Mold some heads. Right? Good for the mask.
Yeah, just mold them. Don't bust them.
Right, exactly. Just put some masks on. Go sneak around the corner when somebody's coming. You know, have some fun. Right?
No ticks allowed.
No ticks. I think that was a scab, I hope. I don't know
I
why
so.
It would be. I hope so, too, because I don't remember getting a boo-boo. Yep. Oh,
well, I love you.
I
and
love you, too. All right.
We'll talk to you again soon, cousin.
All right.
Next
bye-bye,
week.
Everybody.
Next week.
All right.
Next
yes.
week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The views expressed here within the programs and channels